Jeff Verhoeven for Sportsnet 590 The Fan. And on the line, we have the number one contender for the UFC's light heavyweight title. He will try to dethrone John Jones Saturday, January 3rd at UFC 182. Daniel DC Cormier is on the line. Daniel, thanks so much for doing this.
Oh, man, thank you guys for having me. I really appreciate it.
Now, I mean, let's dive right into it. I think that the rivalry that's established between you and John is probably the most captivating the UFC has had in a really, really long time, and a lot of obvious bad blood between the two of you. But for those of us who don't really know, if I don't know if you want to get into it or how it all started, that the dislike really evolved.
I think it started a long time ago. You know, I think some of it was just a little bit of a misunderstanding. John and I had different ways of trying to strike up a friendship. I thought he insulted me at the initial conversation we had, and we never talked about it. You know, we never talked about it. We just kind of let it fester, and then once we let it fester, it just got worse and worse and worse.
Now, going for the light heavyweight title, MMA fans know you started at heavyweight, and one of your good friends is a guy by the name of, and training partners is a guy by the name of Cain Velasquez, who's the heavyweight champion in the UFC. So you made the drop to light heavyweight, 205 pounds. It's a weight class that John Jones has dominated for a long, long time. But being from Toronto, we saw firsthand Alexander Gustafsson really give him a tough, tough fight. Did you learn anything from that Gustafsson fight on how to beat John Jones?
Not how to beat John Jones. I learned a lot about John Jones. I learned that he's a lot tougher, and it's going to be a lot harder to get that belt off of him than originally thought. A dude had to dig really deep in the Gustafsson fight to retain that belt, man. And plus, you know, Alexander and I are two different fighters. You know, Alexander is a great boxer, has unbelievable footwork. I'm more of a wrestler boxer. You know, I go forward, and I think I rely a little bit more on pressure, whereas Gustafsson relies on a lot of technique and skill. I think I rely on pressure, you know, and going forward, getting in a guy's face and really trying to just beat him up and make him carry my weight and just kind of dominate him.
Yeah, and you raise a great point there with you being in a guy's face. And one of the things that everyone sort of points to for John Jones's dominance is the reach and his size advantage. But again, you fought and dominated heavyweight fighters, guys way bigger than him. So you know exactly how to get in on guys that have a big reach.
Yeah, I do, but you know what the key is going to be is actually doing it on a guy that's actually faster. Mm-hmm. John's going to be a lot faster than any guy I've ever fought, so it's going to be about getting inside, but I'm going to have to do some different things because he's going to be so much faster than a Josh Barnett or a Bigfoot Silva or any of the heavyweights I fought, you know, so not only do I need to get in there, I've got to get in there quick and avoid him using his reach or catching elbows. You know, it's not going to be an easy thing to do. But it's going to take a little more skill than I used against those guys, actually.
Now, like you said, the wrestling is sort of the bread and butter for you. Incredible stand-up, but, I mean, an Olympic-level wrestler. Is the plan to put John on his back in a place that he's really not that comfortable with and we haven't seen him a lot?
Yeah, for sure. You know, I got to beat him everywhere. I can't just say, well, I'm going to wrestle John Jones because if I believe that I just have to wrestle, what if I can't get a takedown and I'm lost out there? I have to beat him everywhere. But of course the plan is going to be to use my biggest strength. I believe that any time I'm inside of a cage with anyone, my biggest advantage is going to be to wrestle. You know, so I've got to put him there. I've got to make him wrestle. I've got to make him go there. And if I don't, it could be difficult. You know, I can't allow him to get comfortable inside the cage. So, yeah, I think I have to put him on his back, but have him on his back for an extended period of time. You know, he can't be down and back up over and over again. I need to be holding him, making him carry my weight, making him try to get up, taking him back down, returning him. I just got to be making the fight as dirty as I can make it.
We're speaking with Daniel Cormier. He's the number one contender for the UFC light heavyweight title. He'll fight John Jones for that belt January 4th, UFC 182. Daniel, you know, I'm a big pro wrestling guy, and you know, you love the sort of back and forth and stuff like that. And I'm just curious because I have no idea what it's like, the mentality of a fighter. Is it hard to fight a disciplined fight and not sort of venture out of your game plan when there's a guy that you legitimately dislike across from you?
Well, I don't fight on emotion ever. You know, I don't ever fight on emotion. So as much as there may be dislike and as much as John and I may not get along, when we get inside the cage, it's all competition to me. I'm not going to fight a guy I dislike on January 3rd. I'm going to fight a guy that has the UFC title. So I'm not carrying any emotions into that cage. Press conference, yeah, that's fine. Media tours, that's fine. But the moment it's real, in the moment John and I are going inside the octagon, it's all for sport, and it's all about winning the ultimate goal, getting the big belt, the UFC championship.
You put off knee surgery for this fight in order to get the title fight, willing to fight through that pain, and then John pulled out of the original date with a similar injury. What was going on through your head when you heard that the fight was off or being postponed because he needed some time off for an injury?
You know what, man? I was actually very, very happy. Like, I was very happy because, you know, I was training with my guys at the gym, and I felt great. I felt great. Like, I was beating guys up, and I was taking them down. I was smashing them. But those guys' names weren't Luke Rockhold and Cain Velasquez. They were other guys in the gym on my team. And then Phil Davis came. And once I fought Phil Davis, I got tired. We did three rounds, and he was hard. I was like, man, I've only got 6 weeks to prepare for this fight, and I've still got to add two more rounds of sparring. You know, so it was very good for me to get a guy in my weight, top five, train with him hard, and see how I felt. And when I wrestled Phil, it scared me. So I was relieved, actually, when the fight got canceled, because I knew then I would have a full training camp to prepare for the biggest fight of my life.
Is Phil still training with you, and who else have you brought in to sort of mimic John Jones' style?
First off, you can't mimic John.
Right.
He's different. He's unique. He's the only one. But, you know, first Cain was there. Then Cain got hurt, so now I don't have Cain. I'm going to use Luke Rockhold because I think Luke's probably the most powerful kicker pound for pound in the UFC. He's very athletic and long. Phil Davis will be coming in during training camp some. This guy named Liam McGeary from Bellator, he's a big, tall striker from England, which is probably he's about John's height, if not maybe a little bit taller. King Mo's going to come in and help during training camp. I had a guy named Ruslan Magomedov who's fighting next week in Austin, Texas. So you don't even realize the amount of support guys are actually giving. You couldn't imagine how many people actually would prefer to have someone else as their champion than John Jones. Like, guys are just reaching out randomly. You don't have to ask them.
And it would be nice to have, two belts within the camp.
Oh, it'd be awesome. Because I think that we could do something very special next year, because I think Khabib Nurmagomedov has a chance to be the UFC champ.
Yep.
I believe Luke Rockhold has a great chance to be the UFC champ.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think Cain's ever going to lose his belt. And I believe I've got a pretty good chance to win the belt, too. So we could realistically have four champions, or we have legitimate chances at four titles in 2015.
Wouldn't that be something? You've been on sort of the positive and receiving end of circumstance recently in your career. I mean, you go back to the Strikeforce Grand Prix that you ended up winning, where you were sort of like the injury replacement guy, and then with this title fight with Gustafson getting hurt, I know it's all about number one in this sport, but do you ever feel, bad for a guy like Gustafson who, had the fight and then had to pull out, or do you just see it as, this is my opportunity, it was meant to be?
You know what? It's circumstances, man. We don't know, and it isn't limited to inside the octagon, Think about it, man. The UFC Tonight job that I just got with the unfortunate circumstances with Chael Sonnen, circumstance. The Strikeforce Grand Prix, circumstance. This fight would think, circumstance. Alexander Gustafson will be on the receiving end of some of that stuff to himself, but it's about opportunity comes and you got to actually latch onto it. I've been lucky enough to do that, and I don't feel bad for Alexander Gustafson, because you know what? He's a great fighter, man, and he'll get his opportunity.
Mm-hmm.
So, not for a second.
Daniel, before I let you go, I just had one more quick question for you. Growing up, being an Olympic-level wrestler, were you a pro wrestling fan growing up?
Loved it.
Okay.
Loved it, and I'm still watching it to this day.
Perfect. So we do another show here I'm a co-host of called Top Turnbuckle. It's a pro wrestling show, and we're gearing up for our big WrestleMania show coming up, and I'm just wondering if you had a favorite WrestleMania moment growing up.
Favorite WrestleMania moment? Yes. 100%.
All right, give it
Ric
to me.
Ric Flair versus Macho Man Randy Savage. Ric Flair won the belt by actually winning the Royal Rumble, stayed over an hour to win the belt. I still believe Bobby Heenan did the best commentary job of all time.
It's not fair to Flair. It's not fair to Flair, right?
It's not fair to Flair. How long has it been? How long has it been? Where's Flair? Where's Flair? Look at Flair. He went an hour, and he never took a step back, but the whole time Flair's, like, laying on the ground and stuff, not fighting. And then Macho Man Randy Savage fought Ric Flair. After Ric Flair had the pictures of Miss Elizabeth, Macho Man won the belt with the roll-up. It was sick.
Yep.
It was sick. Flair and Mr. Perfect actually beat him up after the match. Great, that's my greatest WrestleMania moment of all time.
I think my favorite part about that Royal Rumble for the Ric Flair was, you know, he fought for so long and looked like he finally, I don't know if you remember this, he looked like he finally had a breather as the countdown was going on, and then the next guy out was Roddy Piper, and just Ric Flair's face, it's sort of like a dejected, defeated face that, oh man, I thought I had a break and now Piper's coming down.
My whole thing is with Ric Flair, like when I look back at these videos and I watch, because I got WWF Fight the Past.
Right.
I got the WWE Network. So when I watch this, because I watch it by year. Like I go 91, 92, and I just watch all the pay-per-views. I can't believe at any point I dislike Ric Flair. He was just so good. He was so good of an entertainer. And I think you disliked him because he did exactly and made you feel exactly how you were supposed to feel for the bad guy.
Yep.
You're supposed to hate him, and he did such a fantastic job. But looking back, I'm like, how did I hate this dude? This dude's crazy, man.
I like it. Hey, Daniel, thanks so much for doing this, and best of luck to you January 3rd.
Thank you so much.